It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled, the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Quite the evening. Of course, well, we got into a little bit of the disappointment last hour that BYU fans are feeling right now. I think we thought around maybe as high as 10. I think that, Scott, the most disappointing thing, and you had mentioned it earlier, was for the college football playoff rankings to come out. It's not that BYU's 14. It's that Cincinnati is up at 7 in the same rankings. And so I think that people kind of bunch BYU and Cincinnati together, which they're right to do. And you and I watched a good chunk of that broadcast, and they kept coming back to BYU even when they were talking about other teams in the top 5 and the top 10, because they were like, I'm really surprised BYU got thrown down that low. And this is sports. So,
well, it's just weird because two teams relatively equal, Cincinnati and BYU, and there's a significant difference between their rankings.
Well, it's hard to see two lost teams in front of you anywhere when you're undefeated.
It really is. That's
a real bummer. So we'll see how this thing shakes out. But I think that in the end, we said it last hour, BYU, add all the games. Get all the games you can between now and, look, add three more. Get one you can't give them this weekend, I guess. Add two more. Get one on the 5th, get one on the 19th, and just try to do whatever you can to
get. Yeah, get one on a Friday or a Saturday, and then the next Thursday.
You can just keep playing. Yeah. Anyway, all right. The NFL Roundup as we rolled out here, Scott. Now, as you, I saw something today. I rewatched the highlights, and you brought something up today because Tom Brady has been really struggling with his throws down the field. And I know that kind of seems to
massively struggling.
I mean, like I said, I watched the highlights. I got you on the horn today, and I said, Scott, those two picks last night Tom Brady threw looked like rookie ball. Like, what was this guy doing? And you offered some insight into what Tom Brady could be going through right now. He's got to operate at a very specific place if he's going to be the most successful.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like cement. I mean, he's stuck in the pocket, and so there's not movement. You see, you have to move. I mean, it was like that back when I played. Very few throws do you ever just get to sit in the pocket and just pick them apart and just throw. There's movement in the pocket. There's sometimes having to move out of the pocket. And right now, whether it's he's not 100% like comfortable and confident in the offense, and so sometimes you get paralyzed in there, or is he really getting old because he's not moving? And what happens is guys are in his face, he's getting hit. You know, even earlier in the game, he has this horrendous situation down in the goal line, and it just looks to me like Tom Brady is stuck. And I don't necessarily see it getting any better. I mean, this is a guy who in his career has been extremely accurate throwing the football, and what it looks like now is that he's just getting old.
Well, no one's ever thought of him as having like a rifle arm, you know.
He's got a pretty decent arm. I mean, he's got a good arm.
But no one's ever said, oh, he's throwing that 70-yard ball, or he's got this Aaron Rodgers zip on it. His thing has been precision his entire career, and so It was interesting to see last night a couple of bad throws, and I don't know. They've been real hit and miss. They've had great wins, and then they've had really bad losses and kind of head scratchers in terms of some of the throws he's made. Scott, the NFC least, the NFC East, is, of course, shaping up to be one of the more interesting things to watch because of how terrible it is. We love to tune into terrible, Scott. That's the thing, is we have an obsession with terrible.
And it is terrible, but here's more drama for you if you want.
Let me hear it.
There are 6 games left in the season.
Yep.
For all of the teams in the NFC East.
They all have 3 wins.
For every team in the NFL.
They all have 3 wins.
They all have 3 wins. In order for those teams to get to 500, any one of them, they have to win 5 of their last 6 games. So, and right now, the way they're playing, there's no way they're going to win. They're going to go 5 for 6. There's just no way. There's no way there's a team in the NFC that's going to go 5 and 6. So that means a division winner is going to win their division with a losing record. And there really needs to be like some kind of special clause or rule or subset rule or whatever situation in the NFL bylaws that says if you win your division with a losing record, you should be ineligible for the playoffs.
It's like have some respect for yourself. Your division should have some bylaws where you go, nobody in the NFC East will allow themselves to go to the playoffs. The problem is it's not that you have the losing record as much as it is that you are taking the place of a team that should be better, or that is way better than you, probably. Well, at least has a better record, for sure. Sometimes it's just by as many as 3 games or 4 games, and they're not making the playoffs because you won your division, and your division's garbage. So,
and it hurts. You know, it hurts a team like, I mean, really there are only 2 teams right now that are even considered wild card teams, and that's Tampa Bay and Seattle. But Arizona's close. The Carolina, believe it or not, the Carolina Panthers are fairly close. The Vikings aren't out of it. The Bears aren't out of it. So, you know, there's a team, you know, like Minnesota or Chicago that potentially could be out of the playoffs and be out of the playoffs to a team with a losing record.
The problem, they
could end up like 10-6 or 9-7.
But think about how wild the NFL is, though, because not only is there a possibility of a 6-9-1, Eagles team getting to the playoffs. They would host the first week. They would host a playoff game against. And here's the other crazy thing.
And if you're,
and they could win. It's an NFL team.
Well, yeah, but if you're a team that's like, you know, you're a wild card team and you have to go play on the road, you want to go play on the road in a place like Philadelphia because you've got a real shot at winning in a very subpar football team. And so even though they won their division, they're still, because it's hard to win on the road, and it'll be different now with the playoffs this year without the crowds. But, you know, so there is somewhat of a silver lining if you make the playoffs. It's just, in my mind, I think it's a little disingenuous for a team that has a winning record. And
all they do is, well, we're just playing by the rules here.
Right.
We're just playing by the rules.
They lose out to a team like that.
Any thoughts on how you feel like you want Philadelphia to do if they are hosting a playoff game at home?
I think you've
played a playoff game at home in Philadelphia. I'm just feeling like you would have some feelings about.
Well,
never
I would
to
love
see
to go to Philadelphia now and play. I won't tell you that much, but it feels like to me, you know, it's going to be a team like it could be the Dallas Cowboys that win that division, and you're just sitting here going, they were left for dead. I mean, everyone's just like, oh, this is, you know, this is one and done for Mike McCarthy and even the Washington Redskins. I mean, those teams, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Washington team actually look better than the team winning the division right now. Philadelphia does not look good.
All right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Dabo Swinney, he won't just let it go. He's got to keep talking about Florida State. He's got to keep talking trash about the Seminoles. Not playing that game last week. We've got a lot of stuff to get to, so stay right here with us. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.